Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for February 3rd, 2015. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking with Ben Major and Matthew Walker about a transcription factor that enhances Wnt signaling in lymphoma. The transcription factor FOXP1 influences stem and progenitor cell identity and cell proliferation. FOXP1 is overexpressed in some diffuse large B-cell lymphomas, and this increased abundance of FOXP1 correlates with poor patient prognosis and resistance to therapy. In a new study published this week in Science Signaling, Ben Major, Matthew Walker, and their colleagues report that FOXP1 enhances Wnt signaling, and that this may be why lymphomas overexpressing FOXP1 are particularly difficult to treat. Major and Walker spoke to me from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Matt Walker, Ben Major, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hello, thanks.
Thank you.
Ben, first, what's diffuse large B-cell lymphoma?
Diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, or more commonly referred to as DLBCL, is a type of blood cancer of the B-cells. It's a subtype of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's actually the most common type of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It affects approximately 70,000 people every year. The good news is that it's very easily treated. Without treatment, it would be fatal, but we've now, over the last 20 to 30 years, have come up with an R-CHOP therapy that is very curative. However, that said, 30% of DLBCL patients that receive R-CHOP do not respond, or they initially respond but then relapse. And for those patients, their prognosis is not very good at all. And for that reason, we and many others out there are working hard to try to figure out why these particular patients do not respond or relapse, and what new medicines might help them.
What's the relationship between FOXP1 and lymphoma?
FOXP1 is a transcription factor, and it was discovered based on its homology to other transcription factors within the FOX family, just by sequence gazing. Initially, it was thought to be largely or entirely a transcriptional repressor. However, now we know that it can also promote transcription. The relationship between FOXP1 and lymphoma specifically came from a whole series of gene expression profiling studies wherein investigators and clinicians were simply profiling the transcript abundance between many, many different types of lymphoma, including different DLBCLs. And from those studies, it was discovered that the FOXP1 transcript was overexpressed in a specific subset of DLBCLs. And what's even more interesting from a scientific point of view is that FOXP1 high DLBCLs cluster very tightly with the ABC subtype of DLBCL, otherwise known as the activated B cell subtype. Patients with ABC subtype DLBCL do poorly. They're given a worse prognosis and oftentimes respond more poorly to therapy, including R-CHOP.
So, Matt, how did you identify a connection between FOXP1 and Wnt signaling?
So we initially found the connection between FOXP1 and Wnt signaling when we were doing some functional genomic screens. So when I joined Ben's lab, I was really interested in doing functional genomic screens, but we wanted to look at something that was a little different, because there's been a whole host of lots of function screens published on Wnt signaling, but the comparative gain-of-function screening technologies are a little more rare, even though there's been major advances made recently with both CRISPR and RAID technologies. So we did this procedure called CDTMS. It was kind of building upon some previous techniques where we used viruses to randomly insert strong promoters throughout the genome, thus driving high levels of expression of a downstream gene. The novelty in our approach was that we utilized protein mass spectrometry to identify the overexpressed genes rather than a PCR-based approach. So we used this CDTMS approach on some of our Wnt signaling reporters and found that FOXP1 promoted Wnt activity. And as Ben talked about earlier, FOXP1 is overexpressed in DLBCL and is this bad prognostic indicator. And its molecular function was not completely well understood, so it was kind of like this perfect gain-of-function screen hit. When I first got it, part of me was just like, I can't believe I just got so lucky.
So How does FOXP1 contribute to Wnt signaling? How does it promote Wnt signaling?
So after we did that initial characterization where we saw FOXP1 was a promoter of Wnt signaling, we went through and did what we do in our lab, which is look after a mechanism through a series of protein-protein interaction studies in small molecules. So through this, we saw that FOXP1 enhances Wnt signaling in the nucleus through interactions with transcriptional components of Wnt signaling pathway, specifically TCF7L2 and beta-catenin. To get more technical, it is through an interaction with the histone acetyltransferase CBP that FOXP1 increases acetylation of beta-catenin. And this acetylated beta-catenin has increased affinity for TCF7L2, the main transcription factor associated with Wnt signaling. After this, we also tested whether FOXP1 regulated Wnt signaling in a whole organism, chiefly zebrafish. So like Wnt signaling, FOXP1 overexpression resulted in a truncation of anterior structures and enhancement of the posterior. We saw that FOXP1 also increased the expression of beta-catenin target genes in zebrafish. Whether removal of FOXP1 impacts Wnt signaling in zebrafish is currently under study in the lab.
Had Wnt signaling previously been implicated in lymphoma or in DLBCL in particular?
So this is actually a kind of a tricky question. We've learned a lot over the last like 30 years in Wnt research, but there are actually the questions of the role of Wnt signaling in both normal hematopoietic development and in a lot of blood cancers is kind of still controversial. In regards to B cells, Wnt signaling was initially implicated in B cell progression through studies in LEF1 knockout and Frizzl9 mice, but then they didn't see a defect in B cell development in the beta-catenin specific knockout mice. So there's a lot of this great work that's being done, but I'm not sure there's a clear consensus role for Wnt signaling in B cell development. However, it is clear that Wnt signaling is elevated in some cases of lymphoma. Chiefly right now, mantle cell lymphoma has a reported high Wnt connection. So what's interesting is that the level of signaling activity is not nearly as dramatic as people see in colon and liver cancer, where you get mutations in core components of the Wnt pathway. Some recent work has shown active Wnt signaling in a subset of DLBCL patients, but I think more work is necessary to really solidify the role of Wnt signaling in DLBCL. Importantly, most of these tumors do not have reported mutations within the Wnt pathway, suggesting that other mechanisms may be responsible for this Wnt activation. For example, a subset of mantle cell has an activated Wnt signal through upregulation of Wnt3a. So I think Wnt activation in many of these tumors will be through less traditional events, like overexpression of Wnt ligands, loss of repressors like SFRP or DKK1, or overexpression of novel components like FOXP1. I think this is a pretty exciting time for looking at Wnt signaling in blood-derived cancers because there's still so much left to understand.
How might Wnt signaling contribute to lymphoma? Is the idea that maybe it could promote proliferation of B cells or suppress their differentiation so that they maintain a progenitor-like state?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is a really good question, something that we're really interested in studying and are actively studying in the lab. There has been a couple papers recently that led some ideas to this, but it's definitely not complete yet. In DLBCL, there was this recent paper that Wnt signaling is important for modulating the population equilibrium. And then in that other NHL subtype, mantle cell lymphoma, Wnt has a reported role in cell proliferation. In our work, a subset of DLBCL cells were sensitive to Wnt pathway inhibitors. In our xenograft models, Wnt inhibition significantly reduced tumor growth. What this all means, I'm not really sure yet, and I don't think it's really yet to be fully realized, but I know that we and a whole bunch of other people are currently researching it.
Is it likely that FOXP1 has other activities besides enhancing Wnt signaling that could also contribute to cancer, such as lymphoma?
Oh yeah, most definitely. FOXP1 definitely has roles outside of Wnt signaling, so it already has some well-established roles in the regulation of NF-kappa-B signaling and apoptosis-related genes in DLBCL cells. Some really nice work has come out recently that showed that FOXP1 regulates stem cell differentiation. It's the process that is critical for cancer development. And just a couple months ago, FOXP1 was identified to drive pancreatic cancer metastasis. It's a really exciting finding, given that there's other been previous work that showed that Wnt signaling is also really active in pancreatic cancer metastasis. And then lastly, outside of cancer, FOXP1 is frequently mutated in autism disorders. And this really nice mouse knockout work showed that neural-specific loss of FOXP1 causes autistic-like behavior. So I'm pretty sure there are more functions of FOXP1 that have yet to be discovered. If there's really just one thing I'm pretty sure of, is that we're nowhere close to knowing everything about FOXP1.
Does the finding that FOXP1 enhances Wnt signaling have implications for improving treatment for patients with FOXP1 overexpressing lymphomas? Ben?
Yes, implications and hope and new directions for my lab and several other labs. So yeah, we're excited about the idea of using Wnt inhibitors in the LBCL, or even more broadly in cancers that have apparently high levels of FOXP1 expression. Whether or not these inhibitors will have an impact in cancer models, you know, cancer cell lines growing on plastic or in mice, we can figure that out. Whether or not they're going to have an impact on cancer patients, that's something that's going to have to wait for clinical trials. And until recently, Wnt inhibitors have not been in clinical trials, which is somewhat amazing given that the field is more than 30 years old now. But we do now, to my knowledge, have at least five different Wnt inhibitors in clinical trials, and some of them are showing good and strong signs. So it's, you know, a dream as a cancer researcher for myself and for Matt and for my lab to hopefully identify patients, perhaps through FOXP1 expression, that may benefit from Wnt inhibitor therapy. It's something that we're working toward.
Ben and Matt, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
That was Matthew Walker and Ben Major discussing a paper published in the February 3rd issue of Science Signaling by Walker and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.